Do you get what I'm saying? I'll talk about that further in a moment. And we're reading from James. It says, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. The devil does not flee because you shout, I resist you. I want to drive the devil out of my home. I say, where am I not submitting to God in this house? I want to drive the devil out of my business. First question is, where am I not submitting to God in this business? I want to drive the devil out of my life. First question is, where am I not submitting to God in my life? You don't just wake up and start shouting on the devil. I'm not because you're afraid of him, but because that is not what the problem is. People gather in church, every evil spirit that came here today, have you ever heard me pray that prayer? Have you ever heard Steve pray that prayer? Have you ever heard anybody here praying, all you witches that came here to disturb what Pastor Banke is doing, come inside. You either give your life to Christ or I blind you. Where should I drive you? Come first now. I'm not going to pray about you. You're not worth my prayer time. Sit down there. You will be born by yourself. Fever will catch you. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not because I'm, oh, you evil spirit that is here. As I begin to teach the word of God, you start catching fire. That's what I'm talking about when I gave the example of Samson and Delilah. Samson was not supposed to say, the spirit of Delilah, when is she coming? No. Oh boy, walk normally. Do the work of God. Obey the word of God. It doesn't matter when. Listen, some of the greatest temptations in your life will come, it will go. You won't even know they came. Why? Because you were strong at that time. They came and they disappeared. There are things people call temptation. I said, God, I don't even think God passes me on them. That's like, you try, you pass. You say, no, that one is not a temptation. Bank is not fair. To say you resisted that one is not fair. I don't know that you get my point. There are things some people call temptation. Say, what can you call that a temptation? You need to be backsliding to call it a temptation. How many mad women have went to you on the road and you were tempted? I don't know where I get my point. There's some degree of backsliding that first comes into your heart that makes some things temptations. I'm talking about the issue of humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. My emphasis is, this is the number one way you resist the devil. Not by shouting at him. Talking about the weakness of the flesh, the failing of the flesh that allowed the devil in. Two of them that are so prominent to me here, as I was studying them last week, I wanted to teach on this, what I'm teaching today, but you know the way last week went. And during the week, I began to see things, and I said, I'm so happy I didn't teach on this. I want to just digress into that, and I still part of this. Because you see the word humble used again and again. I've talked about submitting to God. You see other words there. Like in verse 11, it says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He talked about that. Then if you look before that, verse 1, he says that, James chapter 4. There are quarrels and conflicts amongst you. He talks about that also. Then if you go down to that 1 Peter chapter 5 that we're reading, you will see something that he kept on saying there also. He said, you shepherds, you pastors. He says, you elders, shepherd the flock of God amongst you. How do you do it? He said, by making yourself an example. Verse 3. Then he now said, you younger men, be subjects to your elders. Because God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, it says, humble yourself, therefore. After I read it here and there, I decided that one of the greatest problems in life is that problem of pride. When I saw the way James emphasized it, and Peter emphasized it, we talked about submitting to God, but he also talked about submitting to one another. He talked about pride in life. I was studying it during the week, and then I had experience during the week. I just told myself, Jesus Christ, this is the number one way by which the devil causes problems in the society. You know, they say the white man, generally speaking, discriminates against a black man. You know why he does that? Because he feels he's what? Superior. That's pride. So what's wrong with the white man? No. What about the black man? You come down to a country like Nigeria. No, Africa. When Nigerians see other people from everywhere, y'all look like, what are these people? That there's this attitude. You look at everybody else. You come into the country. There are segments that think they are superior to other people. Now, let me put it like this. In fact, I'll say it straight. All right? A typical southerner thinks a man from the north is an idiot. Am I lying? That's what he thinks. He just looks at the guy, calls him names. That's his attitude. Go to that other man on the other side. Listen, I have a friend who knew people in NDA. Say, you talk to the Hausa soldier then. He said, yes, we know you people call us goats. He said, but you are the grass we eat. Open talk. We know you call us goats. No wahala now. Goat must work. Who goes they work? You. You come down home. Let me not get too close before you start feeling bad. I heard a man, let me not mention, a man I know very well, that when did a man from this state start talking to a man from this state, and both of them are from around here. Like, what gave that guy, the person, he's a doctor, the man talking is a lawyer, they had the disagreement, and his own is that, somebody tried to settle. Which state is it from? When did the people from his state start talking to people from my state? Let us lead the people from different states. Let's talk to people from the same state. I thought about it here and there. I've heard the man talk before. The man was in my presence. Somebody came to tell me something. He said, listen, my friend, when the professor is talking, shut your mouth. So I told him, Prof, I'm very sorry, sir, Prof. I told the other guy, you just move, you know. A professor is talking, you know, move. But in my mind, I was looking like Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're like that, you will never prosper in life. No, it's not a prayer. It's a warning. Your downfall, demons are going to crawl into your life. The truth is that you are far inferior to what you think. People who are better than you are from everywhere. They said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus came out of the place. A man laughed and said, can anything good come out of the place? Some women, they won't marry. God said, the tribe your people hate the most, I have ordained your husband from there as a testimony. Start. You are better going to renew your brain if you want to prosper. I have discovered that the number one way by which demons jump into lives is through pride. Therefore, when God saw pride showing up in the life of Paul, he said, Paul, I will handle this one myself. Paul's pride came, in quotes, legitimately. Abundance of revelations. Listen, Peter walked with Jesus for all those years. He was always there. The only time he was absent when things were happening with Jesus Christ was when Jesus was in the garden. But he was right at the door. Yet, by the time God gave Paul revelations, Peter came out in cap, bow. He said, just as our brother Paul has written to you according to the depth, I'm putting words together now, the multitude of revelations given to him. He said, of which some things are hard to be understood. When a man says something is hard to be understood, he found it hard to understand it. Are you kidding what I'm saying? You don't blame Paul for being big-headed. Peter did not understand what Paul understood. The truth. The revelation concerning God's kingdom, concerning the Gentile church, Peter had no idea. Paul had to explain to him, Brother P, come. Brother P, come. Let me explain these issues to you. What happened here? What happened? Remember this tabernacle? By the time Moses came like this, remember Aaron?
Paul said, okay. Now it's Peter. Peter. He said, okay. I said, James, come on here. That is, Paul thought Peter was humble. Now, imagine, if you saw Peter that time, you'll have said, hey, Baba, this was the right-hand man at the Balogun of Jesus Christ. You know, this is the guy. Are you getting my point? Or the Otun, like we say, Otunba. Yet, when God saw it, he said, Paul, this is destruction. I don't know what I heard what I said. Paul says, God said to Paul, it's destruction. This multitude of revelations will destroy you. Why? Because pride can break down a man that has multitude of revelations. No matter how spiritual he thinks he is, no matter what he thinks he knows, once pride comes in, he's dead. He's dead meat. Pray from now till tomorrow. Listen, one of the choicest prayers in the scriptures is tax collector's prayer. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. One of the most potent prayers in the scripture. That's it. Why? Because it's one prayer that brings you down. You don't think highly of yourself at all. You know what I'm going to explain? I'm not going to bring out the issue of how the devil creeps into our lives. I was studying this. In life, once you start saying, me, do you know who I am? Now, most people say, do you know who I am? They don't even know who they are talking to. You hear what I said? A man will tell you, do you know who I am? You'll have told him. That assumes you know who I am, you know? Or like one airport, I heard that one attendant at the airport, one of the ladies there, one man can say, do you know who I am? The woman put on the speaker. Please, who knows who this man is? Apparently, he has forgotten who he is. You want me to tell you who you are? I'm sorry, I do not know. In one of those films, John Shaft was arresting one boy. The boy said, do you know who my father is? Shaft said, no, I don't, do you? Since you don't know, I don't know. I mean, I wonder who your father is. The Lord is good. One reason is that when people start beating their chest, tell the guys, this is the beginning of destruction. You hear what I said? I'm not going to teach much deeper on that because I have other things to say. But this is the point I want you to understand. Listen, I thought about it. I discovered all the conflicts in the world is pride. It is pride. The Middle Eastern problem, the problem the Jews have and the Arabs have, the Palestinians have, is pride. We are special before God. You are not. It's pride. That's what it is. It is pride. All the conflicts amongst mankind, the demons enter in because of individual and communal pride. We from this society, we are better than those of you from that society. Tell the people they will all soon become demon-possessed. Please, are you getting my point? Anything that makes you proud in life is only trying to kill you. You must fight it. That's why Paul said, you must humble yourselves. It's your job. You must do what? Humble yourself. You know, today when we went to preach, when we got there, we went and waited somewhere for almost 20 minutes. Before, I said, there's nobody here. We now heard sound from somewhere. I went to the other place. That we have been waiting on their side for a while. Meanwhile, they had been waiting for us. So something happened. The guy now said, sir, we didn't recognize your car. We're looking for the small car. You understand? So I said, okay, fine. Now, you know, it is not by the car. You shall know. Just be looking out for me. And I said, tomorrow we can come in a Rolls Royce. I just talking like that. I said, one day we may come in a helicopter. Then I quickly said, and one day we can come with a keke. Nabeb, I deliberately added it. You didn't hear what I said. You didn't catch that. I was adding it up. I just, hey, Banky, wait, helicopter. I said, wait. I said, we can also show up one day on a keke Nabeb, or I can take a bike. And don't dare me, one day I'm going to trek into the meeting. Yes? And I reminded them that once in Onitsha, the same Onitsha, all right, but another meeting, but the same man organizing. When we got held up in hold up, I told Yinka, meet me at the church. I took my Bible, wore my shoes, came out of the car at night, literally night in Onitsha. I was meandering between bikes and running up, chasing until the man caught me in front and carried me. I said, I can trek. Yes, it's true.
I can trek. I'm not making an issue. It's your duty. It was, I was saying that, you're looking for this more car. I said, today we came in a big car. Tomorrow we can come in a bigger car. And one day we can just come in a helicopter. After saying that, he said, humble yourselves. I said, and we can land in a Keke Napep or we can come trekking. I had to add that one to it. One day, one woman was sitting in my office. I said, madam, what is the chop? He said, oh, God, you know if you chop this one. I said, why not? He says, it's Gary and Granot. I felt like, okay, next week, don't worry. I am coming to work. I'm going to do it one of these days. I will put my Gary and Granot, leave my office door. I'm the head of the department. I'll leave the office door open. Pour them for water, you know. They turn the thing. They walk, they go. Yes, I help other people become free in life. Nothing like, I'm bigger than that. Listen. You know, the other day I was telling you, I had this phone, a Nokia with touchlight. You know that Nokia with touchlight. I removed it. I had another phone, a nice little Samsung. I used that Samsung for 2 days, and I talked to myself. I said, Pastor Banky, apart from the fact that this phone looks too sharp than this one, how is it blessing your life? I thought about it for a moment. I said, no, how? I said, this cheaper 4,000 naira phone, he has touch. Charge the battery once, that's 4 days running. In Jesus' name, 4 days on the phone. So this other one, because it's so psyche, you know, after 24 hours, battery don't drain. I come out my sin. When I go to place, I say, people could look at me, say, this man, look at the phone when they use. And that's your personal problem. They are hearing me on the other side. It's your duty. Are you getting my point? If it doesn't have function, please don't say, you know, this is my level in life. That is pride. That is the jaw of the devil. That's the point I'm trying to get across to us. There are people who have missed better job opportunity because of what? Pride. Because when they got there, I am bigger than this. Any car attached to this office? Said, no, we have some bus tickets attached to the office. When I was praying, I told the Lord that I'm going to have a car and a driver. This is not... You know, I've warned you before. People who talk like that never become kings. Are you getting my point? The king in the Bible, we know, David. You know what happened? They called him Samuel, the most credible prophet of all time. Are you getting my point? Anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and he went back to the sheepfold. All your anointing is the reason why you wake up in the morning, there's nothing you are doing, just know you have a problem. I've always said, if you say you're a preacher, preach. Are you getting my point? If you say you're a preacher, do what? Preach. Don't sit there and say, you know, as a pastor, I am so heavily anointed. People like me don't touch anything that, you know, it starts, listen, it's destruction you are begging for. What did I say? Destruction you are begging for. Destruction. David, after he was anointed, what did he do? He went back to the sheepfold and he was still running errands. The day he met Goliath, he was on an errand. Did you hear what I said? The day he met Goliath, he was what? On an errand. He was still running errands. His father still calls him. You know, I said, a lot of our brethren these days, what they will have said is that, you know, a king should have servants running errands for him, not him himself running errands. Well, you're not there that day. Daddy, you know now. The prophet came and said, I'm the next king. Just go here for me. You should know. It's not befitting of a king. And they will rationalize it away and say, you see, I magnify my office. You know, you have to speak. You know, you if you want to be a millionaire, you have to think like a millionaire. You buy a wristwatch you cannot pay for in 6 months like a millionaire. You are owing everybody like a millionaire because you're so stupid, you don't realize that life is in phases and men are in sizes. And whether you are in that phase not, whether you're in that phase now or not, you are still a millionaire if indeed you're a millionaire. And you live life according to each phase. My friend Igbokwe will say, contentment is knowing your place in life and living like you are there. One brother I know those days, he go borrow money to enter a taxi from a man who's entering bus. Did you hear what I said? The man will borrow money to enter a taxi from a man who is entering a bus. Common sense should have told you that, listen, my friend, you know, now big boys, they enter a taxi for Lagos. No
Don't be Enugu here. Lagos. Taxes are expensive. And there are buses. It's not like Abuja that to network by bus is hard. In Lagos, there are buses. Don't enter Danfo if you're a Mulwe man. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. It only means you don't have money. You didn't catch what I said. When you're in Danfo level, enter Danfo. The day taxi time will come, it will come. Amen? Amen. The fact that you enter Danfo today does not mean the taxi time will not come. And of course, there will be a time in which cars will line up. And you say, but which one should I enter? Okay, you take this driver. You driver, take this car, go home. And they are all waiting there. They go and start the car, put on the AC 10 minutes before you finish what you are doing. The season will come. But the way by which the season will never come is when you said that, no, that's where I'm supposed to be, not where I am right now. No wahala. My friend is telling me about his brother. His brother will come up to him, bring out the phone, and show him that this is what men are using now. So the brother will say, no wahala, and I'll get, thank you. And say, bye, you get small money, I take buy a recharge card. So my friend will call me. That's the guy here. He called me, say, what is wrong with this guy? He shows off an expensive phone to me, and he's begging me for money to buy credit for the phone. I that have the money to give him for the phone, for credit, I can't even afford the phone he wants to use the credit on. So what's wrong with this guy? And the guy will come up to him and show him the phone. And you know, this is the kind of phone boys like him use these days. They're going to call and say, oh, boy, if you just scratch me a small card, text them for there. In that book, should I say yes? I said, women, don't marry a man who's lying to you. I said, there are two kinds of lies. I said, there's the obvious one with which a man uses his mouth to say that which is not true. I said, but there is the other lie in which the man doesn't say anything but is living a lie. All my mates are driving brand new cars. Driving a brand new car is not for your age. It's for your level of pocket involvement. Are you getting my point? Yes, if your pocket is full, you buy it. There's nothing your mate in it. I've seen old men on bicycles. I've seen small boys with driver carrying them about. It has nothing to do with age. There's nothing like my mate. These are the things that people use to allow the demon of poverty into their lives. And now start rebuking the spirit. Spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus Christ, out of here. It's just over saying, me and you, we are friends. Why are you treating me like this? You know we are friends. Why are you treating me like this? Say, what do you mean we are friends? You know this is not your level in life. Say, I know, that's why I'm talking to you like this. Hey, you see, we are friends. You won't get the point. The guy is telling that pride is the door with which I entered into your life, and I will stay here until you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That is what resists the devil. Let me stop that one. I just need to drive down because during the week I saw things. I heard people talk. I watched television. I saw things happen. And I saw all the conflict in the world is pride. A whole tribe of people would decide they are superior to every other one. And this is the interesting part. Virtually every race of mankind has that attitude. I don't know what I heard what I said. Almost everyone. The people that you are laughing at, they are laughing at you. So don't mind them, monkeys. And they will look and just, they don't mind those guys, baboons. That is, you are calling each other names. Paul said, be careful that you don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Please, a word the Bible says is what? Sorry, it is said, not the Bible. A word it is said is what? Enough for the wise. Let's leave that there. I need to finish this so that we can leave it. Now, I said the last thing that causes problems in the life of the believer, all right, is what I call the trial of your faith. Let's quickly read that. James chapter 1, please give me a few minutes extra. I know I've taken your time. I came late, then we had all those interruptions. But we have to finish preaching the word of God. Talking about the third cause of problems in the lives of Christians. In verse 2, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Knowing that the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. King James uses the expression, which is more commonly known. He said, consider it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's trials. It's what New American Standard I have here says. Knowing that the trial of your faith, or the testing of your faith, that is the trials you are experiencing, is the tempting or the testing of your faith. He said that one produces endurance or patience. And let patience or endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We cannot take time out now to go into details about this. I just want to bring out one simple thing about that. All right? Now, this is what I said that earlier. I said it's going to be part of the message. I said I am going to preach this message. We had this technical problem we had. Those who are listening to this by radio or by TV or on the tape, they have removed the technical problem, so you don't know it happened. But it happened. I know I stood here all the way and I was smiling. I said, don't worry. I will still preach this message. Some people will say, you see, the devil is trying to stop me from preaching the message. Is it the devil? I don't know. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. And I said, but he said he doesn't have the power to stop you. Yes, he doesn't have the power to stop me. I have the power to stop myself. He has the power to tempt me to stop. It's my power to agree or not to agree. Are you getting my point? But more importantly, we must de-emphasize the role of the devil there. What we need is to understand why God allows such things. It's called the trial of what? Your faith. I said something to us some time ago. Now, before I say, go back to that. Realize this. Many of the problems you are facing in life is nothing but what? A trial of your faith. And it is not of the devil, it is of God. Because the Bible says that's the only way you will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Bear it in mind. I preached a message some time ago when I talked about cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures. I said that life has phases. I said there is a stage of sit down and count. And I said when you come out of the stage of sit down and count, you come forth with what is called wisdom for your salvation. What do I mean by wisdom for your salvation? Let's use business as an example. I say to people, either you're a pastor or you're a businessman, let's assume you have a shop and there are 20 shops. Always ask yourself a question. Why should somebody cross 20 shops and come to mine? Or ignore 20 shops and come to mine? Are you getting my point? In Enugu, there are many hotels. Nice little small two-star hotels all over the place. You have a new one. Why should somebody ignore all of them and come to yours? Do you get the point I'm making? You started a school. Are you getting me? There are many schools in Enugu here. Why should somebody leave the other ones and come to your own? Are you getting my point? You are a tailor. You are making clothes. There are many tailors in town. Ask yourself a simple question. Why should somebody leave all those other ones and come to mine? That's it. It may not be everybody will leave those ones and patronize you, but whoever it is that will patronize you and stick with you, why should they do that? I give an example all the time. Where we buy all our electrical, electronic gadgets in town, both personal one and Kingdom World Ministries, anything that, including my office, anything that I have power, all right, to dictate where it's bought, I buy from a particular shop. The day we had an issue with the freezer we bought from there, my wife demanded a discount for a particular reason, and the man gave her a particular discount, and she rejected it and said, okay, I'll pay the full price. You know, there was an issue with it, so she left. She was going to pay. But one of the guys walked into the place and said, sir, you don't know that woman. That's the wife of pastor. That pastor that comes here is one of our big customers. Though. Now, you say, you buy so much. Listen, look around here. Kingdom Women, we buy everything from them. You go to my house, anything I find there, I buy from them. You go to my office, once I'm head of the department, we buy from them. The question is, why? Are they the cheapest in town? I found out later, no, they are not. But there are little things they do for me that I just enjoy. Like once I was leaving my house, and the generator we were using was having an issue, and there was power failure. I was about to leave. I just picked the phone. I said, Ekene, Pastor, how now? I said, you remember that generator we bought for the ministry that day? Yes. Take one, bring it to my house, drop it. My wife and my children are in darkness. I want this generator. I'm going for Bible study now. I'll leave a check for you. And he says, yes, sir. By the time I get back home, a new generator is there. I left a check. They collected it and went away. They don't, you know, in Nigeria, people, they fear check. Businessmen, they fear check. They don't question me. If I walk in there, write checks for 500,000 and carry equipment worth 500,000, it is thank you, sir. They will use their vehicle and follow me behind. If I come 3 months later and say two of them are bad, no questions asked. If they are a little more expensive than other people, don't worry, I'll pay. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, just as an illustration, that anything you are doing in life, I just told that story to illustrate something to you. You ask yourself, what am I offering somebody other people are not offering? Maybe I'm a dry cleaner. It may be that I have the roll call of, or that is a list of all my clients, and I call them at the end of every week, anything for us to come and carry. And when they say yes, I drive to their homes, carry the thing, and I say charge them what everybody else is charging them, or a little bit extra for that extra effort. And they like it, they enjoy it. I know this is something I am giving that other people are not giving to them. Just little tips here and there. But this is where I'm going. So we'll talk about the stages of life. We said there is a stage of sitting down and counting. When I'm about to start my ministry, I want to start my business, I want to start anything, I ask myself, what is it that I'm going to do that's going to be the wisdom for my own salvation? Are you getting my point? That thing that produces uniqueness in for you is what we meant when we said wisdom for salvation in that message. Now, I now said the next stage, that's where I'm going. The next stage is the stage of the trial of your faith. What do we mean by that? After you have dreamt nice ideas, when you now want to start, that your faith will be tested. That's where I'm going. Every man is doing this way. Every woman is doing this way. You say you're a Christian, you're not doing that way. One of the first things that will happen is that you will run into problems because of what you believe. People say the devil is after me. It's not the devil. It's God's order, God's structure to separate, like we say, the men from the boys. Who are those who are playing? Who are those who really believe what they claim to believe? If righteousness pays the way many of us pastors preach it, everybody will practice it. I don't know what I said. Listen, if it was true that once you give him 5,000 naira in 1 week, the Lord will give you 50,000. Why should an armed robber still be stealing? He will just borrow 5,000 naira. Say, Pastor Banky, are you fertile? I say, I am. Here's my 5,000. In case God forgets, give him, this is my address when he wants to pay me back. And Pastor, don't worry, just pray hard about it. When he supplies, I will come, we will share them. There will go so more into your life. It doesn't work like that. And that's why not everybody will practice it. Like I like, you know, I always like to correct Christians. It doesn't work like that. It's because God said it must not work like that. Because they give, I will collect, I won't give you anything. Give again, I will collect again, I won't give you anything. Give a third time, I will collect a third time, and I won't give you anything. So in that case, I will stop giving. So that's the point. I want to see those who, I want to see those who are going to stop. You work in an office. Nobody should take bribe here. You refuse to take bribe, you know. You say nobody should take bribe here. Everybody takes bribe. They buy cars. They live in nice, decent apartments. And you can't even buy a bicycle. Say, I'm going to pray God will give me my own car. God said, no, I won't give you your own car. I'll give you your own bicycle. God will just give me my own house. All of you are here, you are renting now. God will just give me my own. God said, no, I won't give you your own. In fact, to pay that rent, you go get the second job. Ah. Why is he doing like that? He said, the devil after me. Pastor, pray. In that office, I always stand for righteousness. But everybody else is making money. I am not making money. Hear me today. It's called the trial of your faith. God wants to know, do you really believe this thing or just your own shortcut to your own way of prosperity? Are you getting what I'm saying? Like I say all the time, a lot of Christians, they are not givers. They are liars. They are not givers. They are actually getters who are using giving as a way by which they will get more from God. All they are trying to do is get. They are not generous. Their heart is not kind. They don't love God. They don't love me. They don't love the ministry. They don't love the word of God. They don't love you. They love nothing but themselves. But somebody heard that themselves, you understand my point, can get more money if he lets some go. What do you think he will do? He will let some go so that he himself can get more money. So God withholds the reward. And all of people, the people who are like that, eventually they fall back. And the Bible said, God said like this, if they shall draw back, then my soul will have no pleasure in them. It's called the trial of your faith. Some people come and say, look, I'm having troubles. The devils are after me. They're not after you. God is just asking, do you really believe what you are saying or you are joking about it? Let me end there because we have taken extra time. But what have I just said in summary? Let me just summarize what I said today and the last few days on this. The devil is not the primary problem you have in life. Most of the problems you have in life, they come from three places. Ignorance. All right? Or it's just recompense of reward for disobedience to the order of God. And number three, sometimes there's nothing wrong with you. You have the knowledge. You are obeying the truth. Everything is all right as far as your side is concerned. But there are still problems. James said, don't worry. It might just be that your faith is being tested. You are being tried. Be patient. Be patient. When patient has had his full work, you'll be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Lacking in no strength to withstand the day of God's glory. I hope you've gotten my point. It's not the devil. The devil is too small for you. But remember, he comes around, he's looking for whom he might devour. The major problem is when you will give him doors. And next time I'm going to talk about how to effectively and fully, completely, properly resist the devil. But remember, it's not a once and it is done thing. It's a continuous process in life. He wants to steal the word. One of the things he does to us is that he gives us distractions. And that's how he steals the word. He gives us money and collects the word from us. He gives us connection and collects the word. These are the things we do. We resist him. We resist him every step of the way. You will see the Bible does not emphasize casting out demons from your life. It doesn't. It does not talk about exorcising the devil out of your life. It talks about resisting the devil. Listen, you are superior to the devil any day. I didn't hear your amen. You are superior to the devil any day.
Amen.
Let me summarize it like this. This is Africa. This is Nigeria. We'll keep on talking. They can't bury anything to hold back your progress. It's not possible. All the people joined in covens everywhere and they were put together. All of them. They can't stop 1 millimeter of your progress. Say amen if you believe that.
Amen.
Why? Because you are too tough? No, but because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is the summary. That is the long and the short of it. You are seated, if indeed you are a believer, you are seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, and over every name that is named. You are seated with Christ Jesus. Your life is hid with Christ in who? In God.